This whole month we've been talking about family. Yeah, some of you are like, "Hi, Simon, what is that?" Yeah, Little Rascals. If you don't know, then you're too young. Okay, so we've been discussing on family this month, been teaching and preaching on family, and you know, this week Shannon and I, we went away for a couple of days to celebrate our anniversary, and we'll be celebrating 25 years. For those of you that are way past 25, you're like, "Yeah, spring chickens, they don't even know what's going on." But 25 years of marriage, and for those of you that maybe 2-5 years, you're probably like, "Wow." But anyway, it's wonderful bliss, and it's because Jesus is at the center of our marriage, because he's at the center of our lives, hopefully. He's at the center of our lives, therefore he's at the center of our marriage, and so he makes it great, he makes it better. And so one thing that I've been thinking about these last few days and weeks is, Lord, how well are we modeling the kind of family that you desire? And I was just thinking, you know, okay, I have 2 kids in college, and I used to say 2 in diapers, but 1 in diaper and 1 is in his pull-ups overnight. But, you know, and I just started to just think, Lord, how well are we modeling, how well is Shannon and I modeling the kind of family that you desire? You know, the kind that glorifies you. This is just one of the things that, you know, as a parent, you have this responsibility of building a family. And I just want to encourage you that during the course of this, you know, of this sermon, if you feel like, "Man, I'm not there." Listen, you can start today. You know, even if you're not there, even if you feel like you're not there, you could say, "God, I'm not there, but God, will you help us to get there? Will you help us to create? Will you help us to fashion? Will you help us to model our family to be the family that you desire?" And so my first slide, we can either be the family that God desires or to be a look like it. Now, of course, Shannon and I were there. We were in Columbus during that time. We took the picture. And on the other side, of course, that's not me and Shannon. That's not even our clothes, because I ain't buying her no Chanel bag. But anyway, I think that's Chanel, right? That was not Gucci. But anyway, so that's clearly not our apparel. That's not something that we bought while we were gone. That jacket's got to go. But anyway, so we can either be the family of God that God desires, or we can look like it. Just like we can either be Christians who are sold out to Jesus, or we can look like it. And I'm not sure how long you can handle or how long you can take looking like it to where it actually is revealed that you're not really it. And so I know that here there's no family, there's no person, there's no family that's perfect, but there are families who serve, who honor a perfect God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. All right. I'm going to say it again because that was a little low, a little weak. But there's no perfect people nor perfect family here, but there are families and people who serve and honor a perfect God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Okay, that's a lot better. And so I want our family to model a godly family. But where do we go? Where do we start? How do we do this? You know, what's the steps? For those of you that like steps, those of you that like the standard operating procedures of how to do this, step one, remove the packaging. Step two, put it right side up in the microwave. Step three, press popcorn, and you're making popcorn. Some of you like those steps. Some of you are like, whatever, just throw it in there. You know, if it pops, it pops. But as my children get older, I want our children to understand they have a responsibility to become leaders themselves and to continue what Shannon and I have instilled in them. That's what I desire for my children to learn and to know. You see, because we're all responsible. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. So you can get there, those of you that still have your Bibles and not as easy as your phone. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. So we're all responsible to do this, to be believers in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a father, if you're a mother, if you're a son or a daughter, a brother, sister, it doesn't matter. We are all, as believers, responsible to somehow figure out, discover how to model this Christian life, the life that God wants. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Let's stand as we read the word. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Everyone shout out one.
One.
Yes, that was good. All right. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. This is God speaking to his people, but he's using his spokesperson, Moses, and he is speaking to God, or he is speaking to his people. This is the instruction, verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, in the couch, in the living room, at the kitchen table, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. That doesn't literally get Sharpies and start writing scriptures on your hand, but if that helps, go ahead and do that. But there's a point that God is making here. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house. Children, don't start getting Sharpies or markers and start writing the walls. That's not what Pastor Rick is saying. That's not what God is saying. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit gives us the revelation from your word, that we know how to apply it, that we know where to apply it, Lord, so that we can live the life that you desire for us to live. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, teach them diligently to your children. Now, I was just thinking, well, what if the parents aren't believers? And I think that God understood and he already knew that. That's why I believe every Christian is responsible to apply God's word to their lives, so that it could possibly happen, and I believe it can, that a child who is a born-again believer in Jesus Christ can touch the heart of a parent and lead that parent to Jesus. It doesn't have to be the older person gets to impact the young. No, no. The younger person can also impact the older person. I want to say that to those that are watching online. The younger believer, the younger person in the family can impact. Now, we find in Scripture that the husbands can impact the lives of the wife and vice versa. It can also happen with the child because of the fact that Christ is living in them and they are to be witnesses for Christ. So the people of God were to apply God's law, God's words to their lives, because he is the Lord alone, the Lord one. Now remember that in every area of your life, the Lord needs to be fifth. No. The Lord needs to be third. No. The Lord needs to be number one in every area of your life. Is that right? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yes. Because we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with everything that you got. So in every area and every aspect of your life, the Lord ought to be number one, to love the Lord your God, to obey and to devote your all to him. Now here in verse 7 and 9 is key for families to understand that this is something that should be happening in our homes. Okay, what should be happening? That there should be talk of God's word. When you sit down, when you rise up, when you walk past each other, when you are sitting down eating, bind them upon your, where it says bind them on your as a sign on your hand and as your frontlets between your eyes, always keep it before you. So maybe it would be good. If it helps, write it on your hand. If it helps, draw something, write something, put it on a put it with a magnet on your refrigerator. Put it on, I know a friend, Vince Seropian, some of you know him. He would have a dry eraser marker, and he would write on his bathroom mirror certain goals, certain things. He would actually have a big, huge whiteboard in their kitchen, and they would write their chores, and they would write things. They're keeping it in front of them. We ought to keep God's word in front of us. Now, I know a lot of times, and I'm guilty for this, that the TV can be on for quite a long time because I'm watching a game. I'm watching some sports. But how about changing the channel and just having worship or having several sermons? Or maybe you can watch these sermons online more and more, over and over and over again. You see, we have this responsibility in our home to keep God first. He is alone. He is one alone. And so we ought to keep him first. Some might say, well, that's the father's job to do it. The father can say, like I said before, well, what if the father's not a believer? then it is the responsibility of whoever is a believer in that home to shine bright for Jesus, to glorify God, to learn how to model the Christian life that God desires. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. You see, because God still has a plan. And you might say, man, things are going rough in my life today. Things are going crazy in my house today. God has a plan for you and your family. It says here in verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I just want to stop there. For any of you who think that you're not somebody, you don't know a lot of scripture. I feel like I'm a nobody. You are a somebody if you are a born again believer in Jesus Christ. It says here, I'm going to read it again. It says you are a chosen generation, not a generation thrown to the side. You are a royal priesthood. Listen, you're royalty. Your royalty. Now, a little while ago, I want to take back what I said to somebody. Jacob Raber came in, and I said, hey, what's up, champ? Because if you didn't know, him and his wheelchair basketball team, they took first place. They were national champs, right? Yeah. And so I said, hey, champ. And I said, I'm going to start calling you champ because that's what you are, because nobody could take that. Nobody can take that away from him. He was on that team, and he played, and they won. But then I started to think, and it was the Holy Spirit saying, he was a champ before he won that. Every single one of us, we are a royal, we are somebody. Now, the fact that that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for a sinful nation ought to tell you something. That when God looks at you, you are somebody that he desires to be with him for all of eternity. What? Me and my anger and my attitude and my issues? God says, yes, I sent my son to die for you. Now you got to come receive this gift. Now you got to come to me and let me show you how to live. This is why God loves us so much. He sees something in us because he created us and he desires for us to be with him for all of eternity. So we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now, how many of you this morning, you felt really holy? How many of you didn't feel oh so holy? I just had this thought. Oh, another hour. Let me just go back to bed. You know, my flesh didn't want to get up. But we do have to, like Brian was talking about this morning, beat our flesh and just take ownership of who we are, the fact that we are children of the Most High God. So let me continue on in verse 9. It says, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Anybody get called out of darkness? Oh, now, come on, people. That's weak. We're online, okay? Anybody get pulled out of darkness? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. You pulled me out of my miry clay. And so it says that you called out of darkness into his marvelous light. I love that. Verse 10, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now. Everyone say now. Now have obtained mercy. Thank you, Jesus. So we are a royal priesthood of God. Now listen, it has nothing to do with the fact, because I don't think any of y'all in here, unless it might be one or two, in the lineage of Aaron was the priest. I'm not sure if there's anybody that's in the lineage of Aaron, but you know what? You don't have to be, because we're in the lineage of, quote unquote, lineage of Jesus Christ, that by his blood, our sins have been washed away, we've been justified, and now we are called the children of God. Amen? And so because of Jesus, it doesn't matter if you're in the lineage or not. By his blood, he cleansed us and we are justified in him. So today, God is calling on his people, not just to pray. And you probably have come across this verse on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, it says, then I will hear from heaven. It says, and will forgive their sin and heal their land. A lot of people want God to heal the land before they want God to forgive their sin, because they still want to be in their sin. But no, it says we ought to humble ourselves. So God is not just calling his people to pray and do this, but God is also calling his people to lead by the perfect example he's given us, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are called Christians. That we are to live by his example, to win the lost, and to model his desire of what a Christian person ought to look like, of what a Christian family ought to look like. Let's go to, Joel, slide 2. How many of you ever seen this on your vehicle? All right? Okay, now either one of them does not mean, I'll wait till my next oil change. Okay, that doesn't mean. But when you, now some of you are real finicky with your cars, okay, which it's your car, it's your own prerogative, that's fine. I'm not saying there's nothing negative. But the moment you see that, the moment you take it in or you start to work on it or you take it to get it tested or inspected or whatever, you do it right away. Why? Because you want your car to last. That's wise. But when the Holy Spirit is knocking at your door, we try to act as if he's that telemarketer wanting to shampoo our carpet and sell us a vacuum cleaner. And we don't come to the door. He rings the doorbell. Holy Spirit's ringing someone's doorbell right here, right now. And you're putting him off. How can we be so quick to try to fix something in our car, but when the Holy Spirit is trying to fix our heart and our lives, we put it off? You see, God desires for us to lead. And it's an acronym, LEAD. L is love. 2 is edify or exhort. 3 is admonish. And D is decide. I just wanted to mention that therefore, because I know I'm pressed for time here. But L is love. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. In every aspect of your life, this will teach you how to love others. Listen, you can't love others if you don't know the love of God, the love that God has for you. And without his love, you can't love other people. If I try to love other people based on what Rick thinks what love is, it will only be what can you do for me? And then, I'll go ahead and do this for you. When that's not God's love. Regardless of whether or not Nico's going to make me some delicious dinner one day, regardless of that, I need to demonstrate God's love to him without even getting anything in return. That's not what God's love is. How many of you that God said, you need to turn your life over, or you need to turn your television over to me, then I will bless you? No. He wants to bless you regardless. Now, we have to live our lives according to his word. But the fact that God's love even met us at a moment when we didn't deserve it. You remember that day you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. You were probably at the bottom of the barrel looking up. You did not deserve it. None of us deserved it. But God's love was so great that he said, here you go. Here you go, son. Here you go, daughter. I love you. Don't you see that I love you? See, when God's love is at the center of who we are and all that we do, we begin to lead by Christ's example. When all of the, when everything that we say, when everything that we do, God's love is at the center of that, we begin to lead by Christ's example. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, it says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. To say that we love God, but not love even those who are in our family, you might have some of those, you know, distant uncle or cousin, you just can't stand. But yet you say you love God. God's love will transcend and step over our attitudes. It ought to step over that. We ought to give our attitudes to the Lord and say, God, I'm really trying. He's really touching. He's really pushing my buttons, and I just can't say anything nice because then he'll come back. We need to show God's love regardless, at a distance, 6-foot pole. Show God's love. Social distancing, that's possible. And so, but when we see here that God's word says that, how can you say that you love God, but you hate your brother? And that's pretty deep. So it reveals a problem in your life if you say you love God, but there's somebody that you hate. So if that's the case right now, you begin to say, God, that's not right because your word says it. So God, forgive me. God, help me to love them with your love. God, help me to overlook their circumstances. God, help me to look what they've said in the past. Help me to look over that because I've done a lot to you and yet you still loved me. So when we apply God's word and his love is at the center of who we are, we'll begin to lead and live as his people. And so Number two, edify. To edify means to instruct, to improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge, to uplift, to enlighten. I've always said this, the word edify. I always think of the Spanish word edificio. Edificio means building. So if I edify you, I'm building you up. I am encouraging you. How many of you, don't have to raise your hand, but let's just, maybe the smiles or the laughters. You've said something nice, but you really didn't mean it. You said something encouraging, but you really didn't mean it. You still had something. There was that wall of separation you were just throwing. You were just lobbing a couple of nice things, but you really didn't mean it. God sees that. So if you're convicted by that, you could say, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. God, I need to love. I can't love people by just throwing nice things, but yet my heart is saying, oh, I mean, God, I need to love them because you love them. So God, help me to love them. So again, edify or exhort. Exhort means to strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. That's the Google definition of exhort. Simply put, building up one another. Building up one another with choice words and encouraging words. If you have a problem doing that, then come to the Father and say, God, help me to display your love to these people, to build them up, to encourage them with choice words and encouraging words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another. So if you're thinking, you're sitting there, I don't need to do that. Bam, there you go. Yes, you do. You therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are also doing. What are they doing? They're trying to do what the will of the Father and be Christ's examples. Notice that this passage doesn't recommend only to those whom you like or are nice to. To everyone, comfort each other and edify one another. Children, encourage your parents. They've done a lot of things for you. Encourage them from time to time, not just when it's time to get your allowance, right? Parents, don't ever speak down to your children. You are responsible to train them. You are responsible to build them up. You know better because you're older and you've seen things. You've been there. You've seen it, done that, have the t-shirt. You know what I'm talking about. You are to encourage your children. Build them up. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, they will not depart from it. What is it? The way of the Lord. God's word. Jesus is going. What did Jesus do? This is the way that they and everyone should go. The way of the Lord. Next one, number three, is admonish. To give, the word admonish means to give earnest advice or encouragement, calling attention to with the implication of rebuking or warning. Some of you have that wooden spoon. You like to admonish your children with that, right? Okay, so Ephesians 6:4 says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Shad and I were talking about, why does it say fathers? Why didn't it say fathers and mothers? Well, some of you fathers probably understand. Okay, so fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or to be angry, but bring them up in the training. Now underline, if you're taking notes, in the training and admonition of the Lord. Notice that it didn't say in the training and admonition of insert your name here. It's not my training. It's not my admonition. It's the training and admonition of the word of God, of the Lord. I can tell my kids all kinds of things that Rick thinks, that Rick feels, that Rick says, but that don't matter much. That don't matter, not even anything, when it's compared to what God is trying to say in his training us and his admonishing to us. So again, admonish, to give earnest advice or encouragement. And so we are to encourage and build up our family. And so, again, I have to make sure that the correction I give to anyone, not just my kids, but to anyone, comes from the instruction of the Word of God, not what Rick thinks. Not what Rick feels. I could feel this. I could feel good one day, but really feel irritated the next day and just give you something that I found off a fortune cookie. It doesn't matter, but what matters is the word of God. So as parents, we need to train our children. Jesus states this in Matthew 5, verse 46. He states that the following references to our enemies, and Brian touched on this a little while ago during Sunday school, so that there should be no excuses, no exceptions to those whom you encourage. Jesus says this, for if, in verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Now, if you're a tax collector, I'm sorry, but Jesus really hits on tax collectors really hard on this here. He says, do not even the tax collectors do the same? Ouch. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Listen, is it too difficult for you to edify and build people up? Maybe you might need some more time in the presence of the Lord or in his word to be encouraged yourself so that you can share that encouragement unto others. It is too difficult to edify or admonish anyone without the love of the Father. That is vital and that is important. You can't if his love is not at the center or the purpose of the encouragement that you are giving. Let's go to slide 3. Listen, you can look like this. Those are mannequins. It looks like people. It looks like, the Blue Man Group, but it's the white man people. But anyway, the Blue Man Group's really cool. They're really awesome. But anyway, so here, let's face it. We can look like this, like a family. The word mannequin is defined as this. An artist's, a tailor's, or a dressmaker's lay figure. A form representing the human figure used especially for displaying clothes. A figure shaped like a human body for used for making or displaying clothes. A figure shaped like a human body used for displaying. I don't want my family to look like that. I don't want my family to look like a godly family. I want my family to be a godly family. And it's going to take where we're not writing on our hands unless it's really helpful, but keeping God's word before us all the time. We're talking about it when we're sitting down, when we're rising up, when we're passing each other in the hallway. That God's word is what we're discussing. Now, of course, you know, in my house, we're going to talk about, you know, food. We're going to talk about, you know, sports. We're going to talk about certain things, school. But all of that just comes with life because, you know, you gotta get groceries. Hey, Dad, don't forget the ketchup. Hey, Mom, don't forget the ranch dressing. There's gonna be those discussions. But what's more important in your home is the fact that you discuss how to live this out. You discuss what to do in cases when you're not living it out. A lot of times I think people hear what to do, people hear the problems, but they don't get the answer. Okay, well, yeah, I know I'm a sinner, but what do I do now? You decide, do you want to still live that way? No, I don't want to still live this way. I want to give my life over to God. Then this is what you do. You surrender your life. And a lot of people need to hear that. Your children need to hear that. Your spouses need to hear that. Listen, if you ask any one of my kids, they'll tell you, has Poppy, that's the name, has your father ever apologize to you? They'll tell you, yeah. Now, I don't say that with a big head that I'm being boastful here, but they'll tell you, yeah. But if you ask me, was it easy or hard? It was hard every time. Why was it hard? Because Rick didn't want to. I had to eat many slices of humble pie. I had to swallow my pride. I had to step over what Rick thought, what Rick felt, but I had to do what God was wanting me to do. Model Jesus. Model. I mean, and even if my kids weren't in the room, wherever you go to work, you gotta model Jesus. Don't look like it. Be the follower of Jesus Christ. When you're at work, no matter where you are at work, when you're shopping, in your neighborhood, Brian also mentioned this about neighbors, in your neighborhood, you have to model his desire of what you are to be, his followers, followers of Jesus. Thank you, Father. See, there's a reason why Jesus called the religious people fake. Matthew 23:27, Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. Indeed, you appear beautiful on the outside, but inside you are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. You see, they tried to look good. They tried to look holy. They tried to look righteous on the outside, but their hearts were far from God. Their hearts were far from the kind of heart that God desired for them to have. So my last point is decide. So we looked at love, we looked at edify, we looked at admonish, and now you and I get to decide, how will we lead our families? How will we lead our department or office where we work? How will we lead as customers in a store? How will we lead as neighbors in our subdivision or in our, wherever we live? We decide. Something that we can do today is decide that with God's help, because without God's help, without God's love, you ain't gonna do much to even make a difference. Without God's help, without his love. Because where is your source of love? Where is your source of ideology of how to live right if it's not God? It's based on your feelings and your emotions. You might be nice and kind to your neighbor one day and be upset because all the grass clippings is now on your side. You see how we get finicky sometimes? We can't trust our own selves. We can't trust our own feelings and desires. We got to look to the one, who is alone, holy and just. And we had to look to his word. So we will choose to live as God's people, God's family. We will lead our family to live as a godly family. In almost every area of our life, I had to kind of reword this a little bit, but in almost every area of our lives, decisions are made. And then I was thinking, I don't have to decide to breathe. It just comes automatically. I don't have to decide to blink. Some of you probably don't have to decide to drink coffee. It just happens automatically. But in almost every area of our lives, decisions are made. The decisions that we make come from somewhere. They come from someone. They come from the flesh. They come from the spirit. They come from your thoughts and ideas and past experiences, or do they come from the word of God? Almost every area of our life, decisions are made based on that. The longer that we make those decisions, the harder it is to break. Can I hear an amen? You hear that phrase? It's almost impossible to teach an old dog new tricks, right? Unless the old dog is a new dog because of Jesus Christ. Unless the old dog is now a new dog in Jesus Christ. Because that phrase, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, is thrown out the window. Because why? You're no longer an old dog. You're now a new one. Now, of course, I'm not sure how many of you taking offense to a dog. I'm not calling you a dog. But you guys understand what I'm saying. You see, God's word will lead us and direct us. His love is what we need so that we can be able to apply his word and impact the lives of others. When we allow the Spirit of God to lead, we begin to bear his fruit. Whose fruit? Fruit, the Holy Spirit's fruit. Romans chapter 8, God's word mentions that if we allow, and also, again, Brian was teaching from Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, that if we allow the flesh to dictate, we're not going to produce good things. We're not going to produce life. If we allow the flesh to lead and to dictate, it's going to produce death. But if we allow the Spirit to lead and to dictate our lives, what's going to be produced? Life. God's life, godly living. Let's go to the last slide. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. And that says, if our minds are ruled by the Spirit, we will have life and peace. We can learn a lot from the Holy Spirit. And today, if you're listening, if you're fine-tuning your ear to listen to the Holy Spirit and not worried about the food that you're going to have in 30 minutes from now, but you're really listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying, you can learn from what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you today. Is it time to read his word more? Is it time to listen? Now, again, like that word, I like that. The fact that listen in Hebrew wasn't just to hear, but to respond. Are you willing to do that today? And then obey. My last scripture is 1 Corinthians 1:10. It says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And when I came across this verse, I was like, Lord, that's what I would love. And I know that this is what you desire, God. But for your church to be in the same mindset that we lead to live a life that displays the kind of life that God desires, and that we would all listen to the Holy Spirit. I need his love. I need to edify. I need to admonish. And I need to decide to live this kind of life. You see, we can't expect to do this, church, if we're not doing it in our homes. And we need to do it in our homes first. I can't expect you to do this in your workplace if you're not doing it in your home. We need to do this in our home. We can't expect God to do his part if we're not willing to do our part. Like I mentioned, 2 Chronicles 7:14, a lot of people really want God to heal this land. But do they really want God to forgive their sins? Or do they really want to repent of their sins and turn away from their wicked ways and acknowledge him and seek them? If we do our part, rest assured, God will do his. So this month we've been teaching and preaching about God's word on the topic of family. So I am so glad to hear certain praise reports these last few weeks, even in the midst of COVID-19. God didn't stop working. God didn't stop. Praise the Lord. And so I'm thankful that there are many praise reports and testimonies of so many people in our church that God is doing this and God is doing that. And I'm also thankful that we have the ability to agree with you in prayer, because many of you have requested prayer. But I just encourage you with this. Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun the good work in you will perform it, will accomplish it, will complete it until the day of Jesus, as long as you remain. Lord, you're my only one, and I surrender to you. You see, we're instructed to have faith, to walk in faith and not in fear. We are instructed to pray and not to worry. We are instructed to be led by the Spirit of God so that we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So church, I just encourage you, you can go ahead. Church, I just encourage you that you would be encouraged and be strong in the Lord as you lead your family to walk in unity and in God's word. All right, I wanted to share this with you, just a little humorous, but the grandchildren were trying to get grandma into, you know, up to date of knowing, you know, this latest thing, Google Home. And so trying to teach her this. And listen, I know that there are certain things that the older generation doesn't understand, that from the new generation doesn't know. Listen, there ought not to be division in the family. So get together and start talking. Maybe this, you know, this video, this lady, she's known as the Goo Goo Grandma now. Over 1 million views on YouTube when her son put this video of her on, you know, trying to talk to Goo Goo. and it's just amazing, though. Over 1 million views. She said, because the interview went on with, she's even on Steve Harvey's show. So Steve Harvey's interviewing her, and she said that her daughter called her from China or Japan. Anyway, somewhere from the Far East, called her the next day and said, Mama, Grandma, you're on TV. She said, what? And so, you're on TV. I saw you on TV. So she's just amazed. But, you know, there are divisions, even in a family, because some families, some of you parents really don't understand, and I don't understand that, you know, certain things on iPhones. I don't have an iPhone. I'm an Android guy. But, you know, if you don't talk and converse, even the emotions and the feelings. Hey, listen, when we had an argument the other day, you know, what did you take from that? Well, Dad, you're pretty hard on me, Dad. Well, I need to be hard on you. But Dad, you didn't have any confidence in me. You didn't trust me. You all immediately jumped to the conclusion that I did this and that, but that's not what I did. You see, if you don't talk with your children, you don't talk with your spouses, brothers and sisters don't talk with each other, there'll continue to be divisions, and there'll continue to be, you know, barriers within each individual in the home. That shouldn't be. So I just wanted to share this to encourage us in each family. Maybe just not just each family, but friends also, to discuss certain things, to eradicate and knock down those walls so that the love of God can freely flow in your home. The love of God can freely flow in your workplace. It can happen. The love of God can freely flow wherever you go. Amen. And so we're going to wait on, go ahead and play this song. Those of you that are still online, we're waiting on people. Jacob, you want to find out if Jamie and them are ready? We're going to go ahead and have a baptism. And so we're so thankful. Those of you that are here, we're going to have a baptism. They're ready? Awesome. You raise that screen up. Praise the Lord. Jacob, you'll have to show Jamie that video later on. So, all right. Here we are. Your microphone, say her name, and then state your name and why you want to get baptized.
I'm Kirsten, and I am getting baptized to rededicate my life to Christ.
Woo! All right.
Kirsten, I baptize you in the name of the Father,
Amen. Yes. Woo. Praise the Lord. Amen. First time we have a baptism. Praise the Lord. Any other takers? All right. All right, well, we'll have the water warming up for you if you want to come back tonight. So we do have service tonight at 6 p.m. We'd love to have you come back. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal God's truth to us, Lord, how we can apply it, Lord, where we can apply it, Father. I pray that we would draw closer to you, Lord, that we would model, not just look like, but Father, we would be the church. We would be the godly family you want us to be. We would be the Christ follower you desire for us to be. In your name we pray, amen. God bless you.